I like that.
I need a bigger one. House Labor and Commerce will come to order at 3:23 p.m. on January 20th, our first meeting of the year. With us today, we have Representative Thompson, Representative Sadler, Representative Johnson, Representative Miller, myself, Chair Olson, and we are expecting one more member, hopefully shortly. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum. Please turn off your BlackBerries and cell phones. Silencing them in this room isn't enough. They will cause some interference. Boy, a lot of familiar faces out there. Welcome back. We only have one bill on the agenda today, and that's House Bill 279, the extension of a number of sunset dates. I'll let Mike or Representative Hawker join us, and I believe Julie's going to be presenting it with you, Representative. Or
no, I think
you're going to do this solo.
This
one. Welcome and or welcome back, and please state your name and affiliation for the record. You've got our undivided attention for as long as you need it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For your record-keeping purposes, I'm Representative Mike Hawker. I represent District 32 out of Anchorage. Mr. Chairman, I thank you very kindly for the opportunity to come before you today and present House Bill 279. This is one of the legislature's housekeeping activities, and that is the bill that reauthorizes the various boards and commissions that have sunset or in the prospect of sunsetting in accordance with statute. Bill we're looking at today, 279, is an omnibus bill, Mr. Chairman. It brings forward all of the agencies, boards and commissions that need to be reauthorized this legislative session in one bill rather than, as we've seen in past years, a multitude of bills. Its idea is to try to be efficient and effective. Folks will notice there are six agencies involved in this year's omnibus legislation: the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, the Board of Dental Examiners, the Big Game Commercial Services Board, the Board of Nursing, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and the Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission. As members of this committee and yourself, Mr. Chairman, have sat here in the first half of the 27th legislature, four of these are familiar to you. You saw them last year. The omnibus bill made it all the way through to the dark side, the far side. An amendment was tacked on to the omnibus reauthorization that was unacceptable to the governor. And the governor, while he supported the reauthorization of the boards, vetoed the bill because the particular amendment had significant judiciary consequences and was tacked on at the very last minute and had not received a single hearing in any judiciary committee in the legislature. So we're back to square one with those boards, which are the barbers and hairdressers, the dental examiners, the nurses, and the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. The two new boards that are expiring this year on the verge of sunsetting that are also up for reauthorization are the Big Game Commercial Services Board and the Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission. The dates recommended for extension are those that have been brought forward by the the state's legislative auditor, and as chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, I'm bringing forward, of course, this bill as a courtesy in the housekeeping that we need to do. If there are questions for any individual board, we should have people available to speak with you, as we also have the state's current legislative auditor. For folks here that are looking around to find Pat Davidson, you won't find her in the room. Pat did retire at the end of December. And we have here Chris Curtis, who is I've appointed the acting legislative auditor, as we're conducting currently an executive search to finalize the appointment of a new state auditor. But at the moment, Chris is here as the state auditor with us. So, Mr. Chairman, certainly be happy to respond to any questions you might have, sir.
Well, I'd like to welcome Chris. She's a familiar face to not only this committee, but yours.
In whom I am very pleased.
I think what we'll probably do is start with the two committees, or the two that we haven't had any exposure to last year, being Big Game. Let's see who we have signed up. Thor Stacy?
Yes,
sir. Wonder if you could join us for a few minutes, please? Welcome, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Thor Stacy, and I'm here representing the Alaska Professional Hunters Association in support of the reauthorization of the Big Game and Commercial Services Board. I was more or less interested in making myself available for any questions that you might have regarding my organization's position on the bill or our exposure to it. To the board, in general, we've had a very favor. We strongly support and request that the Big Game and Commercial Services Board be reauthorized. It's been a very effective board at raising industry standards and adapting regulations to, you know, promote ethical and responsible development for big game guides and transporters.
Any of the go for it, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Stacy. Just briefly, what kinds of issues are before the Big Game Commercial Services Board that your association has the most interest in these days? Just give us some flavor of what the active issues are.
when the board was reinstated, the APHA's the thrust of their interest was raising the testing standards for licensing new guides, both assistants and registered guides. And basically, before we had the board, after the original board sunsetted in the interim, before this new board was reinstated, the standards were, you know, significantly downgraded. There was no oral portion of the exam to license, especially registered guides. Of course, registered guides have the ability to contract hunters, represent the industry. You know, it's I myself hold a registered guide license. I'm an active big game guide here in Alaska. And when I took the test, which was in the interim between the boards, it was simply a written examination that didn't reflect the types of standards that us in the industry felt were adequate or good for Alaska. What we've done since the board's been reinstated, we've added an oral portion to the exam. This was strongly supported by the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. This includes basically this allows qualified professionals like myself to act as proctors, scoring and helping administer this test. It's raised industry participation across the board. Many guides and transporters are attending the Big Game and Commercial Services meetings. We've adapted. The amount of issues that we've handled successfully so far are pretty detailed. In fact, but I would say that currently what we're looking at, there's a bill that's being supported by our organization that was being sponsored by Representative Feige, where we want to remove. When the original board was sunsetted, all these regulations went into statute. So now we need to basically take some of the things that should be regulation out of statute, make them more adaptable by the industry, more changeable, more, as the business and regulatory environment changes, so do our regulations need to change as well. So this board gives the industry the ability to, you know, adapt constructive regulations to promote responsible resource development, essentially.
And just quickly, is there any area that you would look forward to? What would the next extension of the board term bring to you and your association for issues? What do you see happening in the future?
Through the chair, I think that our organization is interested in continuing to raise the standards of licensed professionals in Alaska. One of the issues is addressing the transporter licenses that exist. We would like to I think, see the industry, and this is guides even outside of my organization and transporters as well, outside of the Alaska Professional Hunters Association, would like to see attention to the transporter licenses that are issued here in Alaska. And those transporters include water-based transporters and, of course, air transporters, anyone that's transporting clients for big game, for big game commercial services, essentially.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any further questions? No, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to go out of the building to Kelly Brehm on the same topic, Big Game Commercial Services Board. Are you with us, Kelly?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us today, and I bet you're really grateful you didn't fly down today. But please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Kelly Brehm, and I'm the registered guide representative on the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and I'm speaking with you from sunny Girdwood today.
I think there are probably a number of people in the room that wish they were with you.
Yep, yes, I've been skiing for several hours now, and I'm looking, hopefully this will get over soon enough that I can get back out for another couple of runs.
Oh, we can keep it as short as you'd like. do you have anything you wish to add to the previous testimony? I take it you're in support of the extension.
Yes, I am. And Thor pretty much covered all the bases on that. And I would support Representative Feige's bill. This is a dynamic industry, and having housekeeping duties tied up in statute, so to speak, is cumbersome. It's cumbersome on you folks and on the industry and the board in particular, so we support that effort. And it is a evolving process as game populations change and hunting pressure varies from place to place in the state. The board has to be able to react to these varying situations. I'm a new member of the board. I just got appointed last March. I've been attending these meetings since the mid-70s when I was an assistant guide, and it's the board serves a valuable purpose, and I'd like to see it continue.
Well, thank you very much. Any questions for Kelly? Thanks again for participating. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on the Big Game Commercial Services Board? Seeing none, is there anybody online? Also seeing none. We're going to move on, and then we're going to bring Chris up at the end to take all of them at the same time. And we've got several other people in the room that are available for questions. But I think we're going to move on to the next one, being the Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission. And is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on that bill? I don't believe we have anybody signed up. We do have Bob Swenson for question only. Anybody got a question for Bob? Bob Swenson? Nope. Yep. Well, you got off light, Bob. With that, we'll move on to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. And I know we have at least one person signed up who regretfully could not be here today because of the planes. Shirley Gifford?
Yes, sir. I'm
here. You had me worried there for a minute, Shirley. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and we're glad that you were able to get here one way or another.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it was quite a wait at the airport before I found out I wasn't going to be able to get in, so I apologize for that. Would like the committee to know at least I tried. I appreciate this opportunity to come before you today. My name is Shirley Gifford, and I'm director for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
Welcome. Nice to hear you. If we can't see you, Shirley.
Thank you. I can see you, and your beard looks great.
Just don't call me by the nicknames that are going around the building.
Mr. Chairman, she's not under oath.
Well, kind of wish we could have finished this up last year, Shirley, but since we didn't, what would you like to add?
Well, I do have some prepared comments, Representative Olson. I'd like to address the committee, Representative Olson, Representative Johnson, and members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in favor of HB 279, an act that would extend the termination dates of six different boards and commissions, and of course I'm speaking specifically to the extension of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I have served as the director for the ABC board for the past 3 years, and for 3 years prior to my appointment as director, I have served as a member of the board of directors, so I believe I understand the important work the ABC board conducts in the control of manufacturing, bartering, possessing, and selling of alcoholic beverages in the state. The ABC board is currently in the wind-down year with a mandate to close our doors on June 30th. This action would set the state back significantly in the progress we've made in licensing of liquor establishments and enforcement of the laws and regulations that govern the operations of these licensed premises. We've made many positive changes within the agency, and our employees are competent, professional, ethical, and helpful to licensees, members of the public, members of other agencies, and members of local governing bodies. The ABC board has made some mistakes in the past, and I fully expect we will make mistakes in the future. However, we continue to work hard to establish safeguards that lessen those mistakes. We've made some excellent progress in the development of our policies and procedures, as well as with our available resources, the implementation of a fair and objective strategic enforcement plan. Since I've been in my position, I've heard from industry representatives that licensees were dissatisfied with the ABC board. So during the break in your session, I took the opportunity to create a written mail-in survey to gather anonymously, if they wished, feedback from licensees. We mailed surveys to 1,439 licensees and included a self-addressed stamped envelope. After 3 months and the mailings all but ceased to arrive, we tallied the results from 257 completed surveys. I understand an 18% return on mail-in surveys is a fairly decent return. In all rated categories, from very poor to superior, the licensing staff of the ABC board scored above average to superior. In all rated categories, from strongly disagree to strongly agree, in areas such as the investigator demonstrated respect, the investigator explained the purpose of the visit, the investigator was knowledgeable, the investigator was professional and appropriate, the enforcement staff scored agree to strongly agree, and in the one category rated from very poor to superior, e.g., if the contact was in response to the licensee's request, the process of getting the licensee's issue resolved, the enforcement staff rated above average. The ABC board recently contracted with the University of Alaska Anchorage to conduct a study to identify ways to achieve higher rates of compliance that are being seen in tobacco compliance checks. That report should be available within the next week or two, and I believe it will provide the ABC board with an excellent tool to guide our future in the prevention of underage persons purchasing alcoholic beverages. In fiscal year 2011, the ABC board, for the first time, according to available records, attained the goals of percentages of compliance checks in 8 regions designated by the board. In meeting our goals, the compliance checks increased from 700 in fiscal year 2010 to 804 in fiscal year 2011. Compliance by industry members increased by 3%, from 85% to 88%. The goal set is 95% for all regions, and 3 regions nearly met the goal. Licensees in the Fairbanks North Star Borough were 93% compliant. In the city and borough of Juneau, were 93% compliant. And in the Mat-Su Borough, were 92% compliant. The industry is on an excellent track, and we look forward to improvements in other areas of the state. This year, we sent information packets to all licensees rather than just renewal forms to approximately one-half of the licensees who are up for their biennial renewal. Partnering with Alaska Cabaret Hotel Restaurant Retailers Association, CHAR provided a born-on calendar, born-on sticker, and a brochure entitled 16 Required Points for Alcohol Server Education in Alaska. I believe these are excellent tools that, if followed by all industry members, the incidences that put licensees at risk would decrease substantially. We will continue our efforts to educate. We continue to conduct formal training for any licensee who requests, and we address questions received through our website. All of us at the ABC Board on a daily basis either answer questions from licensees on the phone or in email, or assist the licensees who come to the office. We have a lot of work to do, and to not extend the ABC Board would set us back as the state explores alternative ways to license establishments and enforce alcoholic beverage laws. I respectfully urge you to pass HB 279. That includes the extension of the ABC Board to June 30th, 2015. Thank you.
Shirley, can you send us a copy of your testimony so we can enter it in the record?
Absolutely.
And the report that's coming out next week as well. Any questions for Ms. Gifford? Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gifford, question in the windup, what have your activities been with the ABC Board to in preparation or in fear of the windup? Are operations slowing up, winding down? What effect does this impending deadline have on your operations?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I have not taken any aggressive or assertive effort to wind down the agency at this point in the hopes that we would get the extension. But I am prepared by the end of the session, if we do not have an extension for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, that I will have time by June 30th to do whatever it is that I need to do to end this board. I've gotten two different perceptions of what that means. One is that the staff doesn't go away. You have to continue to do licensing. You have to continue to do enforcement. The statute just doesn't disappear with the ending of the board. So staff remained, you know, I've heard the board is the actual entity that would go away. I've heard from the board, no, it's the staff that goes away. And so I'm really a little bit in the dark as to what exactly that means, but certainly I'm prepared to do whatever it is that I have to do to wind this agency up and move on.
Hello?
I remember reading someplace that the prospect of hanging tends to focus a man's mind incredibly. In the possibly unlikely event this is the ABC is not extended, or I'm sorry, excuse me, it is going to be extended, what would you want to do differently in the next 8 to 10 years of the board's life? What new plans would you have for the future?
I would like to see, I think we're on a very good track with our compliance checks. I would like to see a more concerted effort toward doing the compliance checks. I believe that compliance checks result in compliance, and I think that we've proved that out last year, but you can't hang your hat on 1 year of success. I think you have to look at several years and you know, modify your program as you need to modify it, you know, assist with good regulations, developing those or get rid of the ones we don't need, and you know, look at statutes and just assist licensees in the good lawful operation of their premises. And I see some good things down the line, and I think we're on a really good path toward attaining the goals in reaching that 95% compliance. There are some naysayers out there who don't believe that 95% can be attained, but I think Fairbanks Juneau and the Matsu Borough have already proven that wrong. And kudos to them for their efforts, and we'd like to continue in that vein.
And one more follow-up question. The survey sounds like a good idea. You've listed some of the encouraging results. Was there any results in that survey from licensees that gave you directions for doing anything else different, or where did you not score quite so well on the surveys?
Kind of looking at it, we had 10 questions on the or 11 questions on the licensing side, and 10 on the enforcement side. There were some misconceptions about or misperceptions about what the compliance checks were. I gave licensees an opportunity to put their name and phone number and mark yes or no, whether they want contact or they don't. I received one survey where the person was very, very angry, written in dark letters and, you know, you suck and that type of thing. But, you know, she left her name and phone number, and I called her, and she was very angry because she thought that we were using false identification for our underage buyers, and that simply was not the case. And the survey did not match the person whatsoever. We had an excellent conversation. I told her about the program. We left very amicably. I think she was satisfied. And just opening up communications a little better, I think there are misperceptions out there. And so I think getting information out to people, what we've done with CHAR and sending those packets out, is a really excellent step forward in giving that communication to licensees and, you know, trying to continue with our educational efforts.
Any further questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate your service. I'm looking at the audit recommendations, and I recognize that you may be in a situation where you don't know if you're going to be in existence. But as I look at the recommendations, I see some very clear action steps in terms of documenting. And I just want to read, if I could. There is no enforcement strategy to prioritize and apply resources in a cohesive fashion to enforce alcohol beverage. Can't read. Laws. The agency does not know if it's inspecting and checking half the license is a good or bad outcome for their efforts, and effective and efficient use of their resources, or the best interest of the public. The board continues to be without a systematic strategy to ensure resources are used efficiently and effectively to enforce the beverage laws. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And the board members and directors should make it a priority to develop and implement. And that's the first recommendation. And then the second one, should develop and enforce written policies and procedures to ensure the staff's compliance with state laws and decisions. And this is somewhat troubling to me. It says there are instances of noncompliance and non-enforcement with state laws, overpayments to municipalities, possible non-payments of fees by license holders, incomplete and inaccurate tracking data. The ABC's board staff lacks oversight and accountability over the activities to ensure compliance with state laws and decisions made by the board of directors. So if you don't have tracking of your information, I mean, I understand you just did a survey. How do you know you're going to be at 95% in the valley? How do you know you're at 93% in Juneau? If this is one of the glaring mistakes you have, how do we know that the data that you're providing is accurate? And what have you done to address some of the shortfalls since, I think this came out a year ago, of these two recommendations? And where are you in those recommendations?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, the information you have in front of you is dated. We do have clear strategic goals. We have a system. We have tracking form in our system, so we know which inspections are being done. We're not doing a duplication of effort. Compliance checks. It's all automated in the database. It used to be investigators would, you know, jump in the car, go out, look around. Oh, I haven't done this place in a while. We don't do that anymore. That just is. We're so far away from that now with our technology and with our strategy in being fair and completing checks based upon the information that we input into our database. So we have policies and procedures are in place. Those were completed fairly soon after my meeting with auditors in 2009. Actually, they spent I was hired January 5th, 2009. The auditors spent the next 5 months that I was here in the office. I corrected things as auditors, as the auditors brought those to my attention. I believe that you will get a more updated report from Ms. Curtis. I did meet with auditors on Tuesday. We have one issue with coding our revenues in our system. We've gotten some help from Department of Public Safety Finance to institute another code to track some permits. That was the one thing that we needed to get taken care of, and I think you're going to get a fairly decent report that we have met the recommendations that were put out a couple years ago.
And more of a comment, and that's the good news, and that is actually the answer I was hoping I would get, that these recommendations had already been met. It's disconcerting when you say you're non-compliance of state laws with the board and commission, so I'm glad to see that happening, and I am looking forward to the report to see where we are. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. Shirley, I understand that recently there's been teams of two going into bars and ticketing a bartender or a server for serving an inebriated person and arresting a inebriated person for being inebriated on premises. I'm curious about if we need to straighten out our laws any. We have laws that say when you cannot drive. But what is considered, or is there a standard for an inebriated person in a bar? Do we need to have anything that changes or clarifies some of that, or are we? I haven't read the regulations or laws on that, but is it the same standard? You might be able to sit there and have a drink and not be able to drive, and you're going to take a cab home, but you would be considered inebriated if you got into your car and drove. So where are those standards? Do we need to straighten out our laws any?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, it is not the same standard. Being inebriated, being at 0.08 blood alcohol level, is not the same standard that you would use for a drunken person. It's the terminology is a drunken person, and it is that person who exhibits the characteristics of what most people see as a drunken person, a person who is stumbling, can't stand up, falling off a bar stool, can't talk, eyes are bloodshot, can't focus, throwing up on the floor. Those things that I think most people can recognize when a person is drunken, and it is not the same standard as being under the influence to the point where you should not be driving a car. I believe the statute and the regulation is fairly clear on what that is, and of course, I do hear from time to time, well, they're in a bar, and bars are where you get drunk. So, to that extent, we do have, drunk on premise law. It is illegal to be drunk on a premise, and feedback I get from licensees is they don't want drunken people in their bar. To the extent that those are the ones who are being escorted out of the bar, the ones who are being cited or maybe arrested. Those are not the people that licensees want on their premises.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thanks again, Shirley. You're going to be available for the rest of the meeting, I hope.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thanks again. We have at least one more person signed up to testify, one person in the room and one person online. Kate Burkhart. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Today I have with me the Chairman of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, Robert Coghill, Jr.
Welcome.
To preface my comments, as I normally do, I stress that I am here on behalf of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, and my comments are solely those of the board and should not be attributed to the Department of Health and Social Services or anyone else. The Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse appreciates the inclusion of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board in the omnibus bill HB 279 for extension. We support the extension of the ABC board because it is a critical component to our overall substance abuse prevention system here in the state of Alaska. Both at the national level and at the state level, part of the strategy for reducing substance abuse involves reducing and preventing underage drinking. And the strategies related to reducing access to alcohol for minors and those under 21 include those duties that Ms. Gifford explained compliance checks, preventing third-party purchases by adults for people under the age of 21, and training for retailers and their employees. I was very encouraged to hear her speak of the partnership with the industry regarding the education and the use of the Born On stickers and cards. I know that the industry organization, CHAR, has worked hard to ensure that their folks receive that training. And that, again, is a critical component to our prevention system. In our written comments, I provided some data. We are making great progress regarding underage drinking in Alaska. It's taken a long time, over 15 years, about the same time it's taken us to make all that great progress with tobacco and young people. It takes a long time to change people's minds about things and then to change their behaviors. But we've reached the point where our high school youth are reporting less active use of alcohol, which is awesome. And it's a category where we're better than the national average, which I don't often get to talk about, being better than the national average. So I wanted to share that with you. So with that, I just want to express my support for the extension of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and the work that they do.
Thank you, Chairman.
Representative Sandler.
Okay, just to ask the same kind of open-ended question, is there any area of the board of operations or activities that might improve to better accomplish the tasks that you support?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, one of the areas that I have spoken with Ms. Gifford about and I was encouraged to hear about is increased partnership and cooperation with the industry. I mean, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board's job is to ensure compliance with our laws around alcohol and to license the retailers and to ensure that only lawful sales are made. We, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, have learned a lot from partnering with the industry and with retailers through our work in other areas of prevention like preventing fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. It has been a great opportunity for us. We have learned and gained a better understanding of the industry's perspective on alcohol and alcohol sales and the use of alcohol. And of course, we're not a teetotal organization. We believe in responsible use or abstinence as you want. Our job is to really focus on preventing the negative consequences of alcoholism and drug abuse. So that was an area that I wanted to see some improvement simply because my personal experience showed that that was a good idea. And in her comments, she talked about that that's improving, and so I'd like to see that continue to improve. I do think there's a way to balance the ABC board's statutory responsibilities as an enforcement and licensing organization with a collaborative relationship with the industry.
May see you back on that issue sometime.
I think probably so.
Any further questions? Would you care to add anything, or please state your name again for the
My name is Robert Coghill, residing in Juneau, and I have I've been on the school board in Fairbanks for I spent 9 years on the school board up there, and so I'm very concerned about children, which is one of the reasons that I'm on the Avada board, and just the progress that I've seen in the last decade regarding liquor stores, and I even own shares in liquor store in a liquor store. The training that we have that we are now giving our staff have is preventing the use of alcohol, and we're seeing the results here, and I think that the ABC board has everything to do with that.
Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this portion of the bill, the ABC? And I believe we have one person left online, Patricia Bernaga. Are you with us?
I'd like to talk about the Board of Nursing.
Okay. Please state your name and affiliation, and you've got our undivided attention. And thank you for being patient.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Pat Winaga. I'm a registered nurse and have been a nurse for 42 years. I live in Anchorage in Bayshore in Representative Johnson's district. I would like the committee to know of my support to continuing the Board of Nursing by reauthorizing this bill, 279. I do attend the majority of the three-day meetings that the board has quarterly, and I have done so for years. I have seen the decisions of the board made after thoughtful discussion and testimony concerning the practice of nursing. They always post and often refer to the mission of protecting the public while they are in the decision-making process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We have one last person that has signed up, Sherry Butters. Matsu?
Yes.
On the ABC, I believe. Welcome to the committee, and I bet you're glad you didn't fly down.
Yes, I am. It's much warmer here. My name is Sherry Butters. I'm a retired first sergeant. I worked several years, about eight, at the Counter Drug Support Program in the Drug Demand Reduction Division, which works with kids. And that's my reason for calling, is I would definitely like to support the continuation of the ABC board. I believe that we really need to protect our children from alcohol. The earlier they start, the earlier they get into trouble. It reduces their ability to come into the military, and it really sets them up for failure in life.
So we appreciate you calling in. Any questions for Ms. Butters? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butters, just what's the trend so far in recruitment with the all-volunteer force? Is it getting better, or fewer young men and women have problems with alcohol, or what's the trend line there?
Yes, we have had a lot of issues in the last several years with the kids not being able to come in because of some kind of substance abuse issue. And then there's also a very strange issue as well that has nothing related to that, but hearing. Hearing is also another reason why they can't get into the military, and I think it's the loud music, you know, in the cars and whatnot that they do. But the alcohol is definitely an issue. They cannot join if they have, if they've been cited for underage drinking, they cannot join until after they're 21. And a lot of times, you know, they're pretty far gone by that time. You know, if we don't get them when they're 18, you know, 19 years old, a lot of times they don't even consider the military after that.
A follow-up on a somewhat unrelated topic, but since we have you here, this legislature has addressed bath salts and ice and K2, that kind of stuff. Just curious, in your position, did you see any of the synthetic opioids and drugs in the young people hoping to enlist? Side issue.
We did, and the Salvia, all of those things. We've seen all those things. And as far as enlisting, it's not that big of an issue, but it is an issue for our young soldiers that are already in, because then we have like a catch-all regulation where any kind of substance that alters your state of being, you can get busted for. So even though they can still get in the military because those things are not part of the illegal things that are checked for in their drug screening, if they get caught with it after they're in, then they can get in big trouble, and we have seen several instances of that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else either in the room or online that would care to testify on any of the boards or commissions that are up before us today? Hearing none and seeing none, we will close out the public testimony. And it's my intention to bring Chris up. And I think I'd like Chris to start with the ABC, and then we'll work to the other one, the seismic, and then we'll go back to the ones that we've
Absolutely.
Last year.
Okay. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Our last full sunset of the ABC board is dated July of 2009.
However, we have followed up with the board last year and again this week regarding the status of implementing our prior audit recommendations. The audit in 2009 concluded that the board should be extended and was serving a public purpose. However, we did make several recommendations, as Representative Johnson mentioned, regarding improving the effectiveness and efficiency of the board. We recommended a stronger internal control environment be implemented to include written policies and operational procedures, and a strategic plan governing the enforcement activities. Since that time, many improvements have been made. Almost all of our recommendations have been implemented. There is one outstanding recommendation regarding licensing revenues, as Ms. Gifford discussed. Our prior recommendation stated that the licensing fee revenues recorded in the ABC Board's database did not agree, nor was it reconciled with the same revenues recorded in the state's accounting system. And this deficiency continues to exist. We discussed it with the public safety's admin staff, and they've had some turnover in their fiscal staff, which has delayed the addressing the issue, but they say they are currently trying to address it. Shall I go into that's
Representative Johnson has a question, and I think I'll be right behind him.
Yeah, okay. I know that, and I read all these recommendations, but I think you recommended that the ABC board be extended till 2014. Is that?
Yes, and that was when we did our audit.
In nine, so would that still be appropriate, or are you looking at?
I believe they did recommend 1 year through the chair. They passed a 1 year extension.
Right.
And at that point, so instead of doing a full sunset audit the next year in 2010. We were directed to do a more informal status update. So we never came out with a recommended extension date, per se. We just followed up the prior recommendations.
And Mr. Chair, and is there a recommended date now, or are you still going to stick with 214, or what do you have a recommend? You're going to weigh in on that?
We didn't. The dates that we see in 279 appear reasonable. That would give us time to go back at that point and do a full sunset.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you feel comfortable that the ABC is moving in the direction that you, not you, but the your department was hoping for?
Yes, we see that a lot of the improvements that we recommended have been implemented, and I believe that the benefits you're seeing from that are because of our audit recommendations. And so we did see quite a change once Ms. Gifford took the position as director. And we saw at that point a lot of improvements being made by the agency.
Yeah, I might add, this is the second or third time I've seen Ms. Gifford come into an organization and leave it in better shape than what it was at when she came into it. I have some prejudice in her favor, so I'm just letting my bias be on the record, I guess, but yeah, thank you, Shirley. Any further questions for Chris on the ABC? Seismic.
The Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission, our report is dated June of 2011. The purpose of the sunset review was to determine if the termination date for the commission should be extended and whether it was serving the public's interest. Based on our review, we found that the commission is operating effectively and serving a public purpose. Therefore, we recommended that the commission be extended until June 30th, 2016, and this date is reflected in HB 279. The report recommended four improvements. The first is that the commission should develop a strategic plan to guide its efforts to mitigate seismic hazard risk in Alaska. The second was that the commission should develop procedures to ensure the public notice of meetings is published timely. We also recommend that the commission should follow its own adopted procedures regarding habitually absent members. And finally, we made a recommendation to the Office of the Governor to fill appointments to the commission in a timely manner.
Any questions for Chris? Big game.
Mine would be at the end.
Briefly, the last bit about filling seats in a timely manner, had there been long-term absences or vacancies?
I'm Representative Sadler through the chair. We did see the report reports one local government position was open for 9 months, and the cause was insufficient applicant pool. We see that typically.
That's not so bad.
Any further questions? Big game.
Big game. Big game. Big Game Commercial Services Board. Our audit for that organization is dated September 2011. The purpose, again, was to determine whether the board should be continued and whether it's serving the public's interest. Based on our review, we recommend the termination date for the board be extended. The board to June 30th, 2016, again the same date in HB 279. The board has served the public interest by providing reasonable assurance that the individuals licensed to guide, transport, and outfit are qualified to do so, and the board has successfully developed and adopted regulatory changes to improve the big game commercial services industry. Our four-year extension is the result of the board not fully addressing the prior audit recommendations and the less than sufficient services from the division in support of the board's operations. The Sunset Report includes one new recommendation and five repeat recommendations. The new recommendation is to address the poor security controls over electronic and paper versions of hunt and transport records. This information is confidential by statute, but the division does not have the staff with the technical capabilities to restrict access to the electronic records and does not have the policies and procedures to ensure the physical files are safeguarded. The repeat audit recommendations cover a variety of issues, including poor operational support by the division in both the administrative and the investigative areas. Licensing fees continue to be insufficient to support the board's operations. At the end of FY11, the board had a deficit of almost $375,000. We again recommended that the first aid requirements need to be consistent between the various guide outfitter licensee types. And finally, the board continues to want to maintain a database of hunt records and reports, and this takes a significant amount of administrative time. We feel that given the board's fiscal condition, that this doesn't appear to be a prudent use of funds given the little value it demonstrates.
The last three are ones that we spent a fair amount of time on last year, a significant amount of time. Is there anything you care to add to previous testimony on the barbers, hairdressers, dental examiners, and Board of Nursing? I don't think we've had any issues, to the best of my knowledge, on those that we should be spending a fair amount of time on, have we?
No, we...
Since last year?
We haven't had any new issues, no.
Is there anything we've missed, or that I've missed?
Exercise in the BBC. No.
Wow.
Well done. No, I did want to mention, though, that all three of those boards, barbers and hairdressers, dental examiners, and nursing, the extension dates that we recommended are the same dates in HB 279.
Well, at this point in time, the committee is open to everything that's out on the table. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this may not be a question for you to answer, but I'm always looking for ways to cut government. Mm-hmm. And streamline permitting and to make it easier to do business. It is your opinion, per the audits, that all of these boards are necessary? I mean, I know that's what you state, but you also show some problems that maybe if they didn't exist, maybe they wouldn't have problems. So
we did, through the chair, we did recommend terminating the Hazard Seismic Safety Commission when we did our first sunset, and our basis for that was that there had been no board members appointed. It was a new commission.
Okay.
And we felt that if it was the legislature's intent to continue this, that they appoint some local representation from areas that were impacted by seismic risk. And so that did happen, and the commission has been up and going, and we do feel that it was serving a public purpose given its statutory responsibilities. So we did recommend extension.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, if I might, and I haven't seen any negative testimony on any of these, and I'm not suggesting that, but it will be a question that I ask of almost, is this really necessary? Are we doing things we should or shouldn't be doing as government? And it's just for the record, I want
to make sure that we do take that into consideration through the chair. And we have nothing to recommend as far as terminating.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions for Chris? Representative Sadler.
Yeah, you can tell. This is going to, Mr. Chairman, this is going to be kind of a value judgment. I know that the fiscal notes for these boards, several of them, are very, very small. These are volunteers who give up their time and their expertise and their experience to benefit their industries and the state. Mm-hmm. Any kind of qualitative estimation given as to whether these are worth it? You know, the seismic hazards board, you said, are we getting a bang from our buck out of the money we spend on these boards in general?
Our audit did not look at the value per se through the chair. The Hazard Seismic Safety Commission is a $10,000 annual budget, so it's not a lot of money, and we didn't do any type of estimation on whether or quantifying the value per se. The ABC board, I believe, is a $1.4 million annual budget. So we didn't, as far as our sunset criteria that we use to evaluate, none of those criteria have us do that type of value judgment.
Okay. I would ask you to venture one, but I probably shouldn't do that. It's kind of our call. But I guess I would just say I do have some experience in the boards and commissions world, and for anybody involved in these boards who's listening, thank you for your service. It often is thankless service. It's a lot of your time, sometimes your treasure, and definitely it takes a lot out of you, and we appreciate your people's service on the boards and commissions. Thanks.
I might add Representative Sadler has spent more time on boards and commissions with the exception of your staff. But I think for that, Chris, I'm going to thank you again, and I'm going to ask Representative Hawker if he would join us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I am, again, Representative Mike Hawker.
Wrap up on anything that we missed, or anything you want to expand on, or
if I might, Mr. Chair, and I definitely appreciate the line of questioning. I bring these recommendations forward as the chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and I like to have you as a committee be the ones who provide the evaluative input into this process. I think you identified through your questioning the issues that we have had with the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. There has been a long sequence of recurring audits. I think this 2009 audit was like the third audit that was conducted over 7 years, consistently talking about the significant management deficiencies that agency had. We're clearly seeing some changes in the agency. There's a big difference between whether we ought an agency exists for a good and valid purpose and we ought to consider renewing it, and then how well that agency might be executing those responsibilities. A very, I think, an important differential here. Alcohol Beverage Control Board, I think there is no question that it's something that is an appropriate function of government, something we want to reauthorize, regardless of how well it may be functioning internally, but we certainly commend the improved function within that board. You also landed on the issues at the Seismic Hazards Board. That's one, I'll be quite frank with folks, I was almost hesitant to bring it forward. If you read that audit very carefully, it makes one wonder really why it does exist. It's something that I think as this bill moves its way through the legislature, we might be wanting to look at that particularly on a cost-benefit analysis to the state. But it's certainly you all's decision on moving this bill forward. But I am comfortable with the bill as it's presented to you, and I would very much appreciate seeing you move it forward for further consideration in the legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for the sponsor? Get off light, Mike. Yeah, thanks again for taking it on. This, I know how firsthand how contentious it was last year and the hurdles that you had to go through on this. With that, bring it back to the committee. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass 279 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
A second?
Not unless it's in the new Masons.
Nope. I'm pretty sure we did that. I'm pretty sure that's not in there.
Without signal opposition, the bill moves out of committee and we're adjourned at 4:23. Is that about an hour?
Thank you all.